Let us be still as we prepare to worship God. And the words from the psalmist. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all they do, they prosper. So we join together to sing 10,000 Reasons. So this is the season for us to celebrate creation, which is about the earth, but it's also about creativity. So I invited you to send us something that was a photograph of what you had created during the season. So for our opening prayers today, we're going to look at some of the pictures of some of the things that people have made. It might be that what you created is not the sort of thing that you can take a picture of. So to use this time to give thanks to God for the creative things that you've been a part of as well. It might be that you can give thanks even if you are aware of the fact that you see these things that people have made and that's not been you, but to give thanks for their creativity, for the things that some have done, the courage to show the photograph of it. So let us use these pictures to give thanks. Let's be still. We thank you, Lord our God, that you are the creator, and yet we are called to be creative people too. Help us to be brave enough to try new things. We thank you for those who have challenged us, those who've used their time in creative ways. Thank you. Forgive us for those times when we found it hard to motivate ourselves to do anything. Help us at those times when time itself feels a burden. Pour out your spirit upon us, that we would be your creative people. That your love would be known and shown in tangible ways among us. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So, Sally, would you like to speak to us?
Okay, so I feel like I've been preparing for an episode of Call My Bluff this week in preparing this, because I've learned a new word and I'm going to share that word with you. It's through the chat function. You're very clever, I'm sure, so you've probably all heard of it, but I've never heard of this word. And so I'm going to write it in the chat function when I can find the chat function. Yeah, there we are. Can I spell it? Yeah. Sorry, I'm trying to type to everyone and I've just typed it to Sheila. Right, there we go. Does anybody know what that word means? Armigerous. If you know or you think no, type it into the chat function. It's not, I have to say, the most useful word that I'll ever teach you. You won't be using this in everyday conversation. Although, please, if you manage to use it this week, let me know, because that would be rather fun. Okay, well, it actually means bearing or entitled to use a coat of arms. Now, how did I learn this? Or rather, why did I learn this? It's because today we're thinking a little bit about gentleness. And I decided to type in the word gentle into an online dictionary. And this was one of the words, bizarrely, that came up. Along with the archaic use of the word gentle would be noble and chivalrous. So I guess talking about a gentle knight in shining armor, that's where it's come from. And I guess that's where we get the word gentleman from as well. So it's a weird word or synonym for the word gentle, armigerous, noble, chivalrous, gentlemanly. But I'm wondering what other words we could use instead of gentle. Can anyone type in the chat function what we might use as another word for gentle? There was a long, long list in the dictionary when I looked. Kind and considerate, yeah. Kind, yeah. Anything else? Well, kind or kindly was definitely one of the definitions, and I'll read you the other ones. Amiable, mild, meek, moderate, gradual, I suppose as in a gentle slope, well-born, honourable, easily handled, tractable, soft, tender, polite, refined. And we've also got from some other people, soft and caring, humble, carefully. Yeah, all those things. But there's one word that is missing from that list. And I think it's, if we look at the Bible, it gives us a slightly different slant on the word gentle. And I'm going to type it in now. And I'll explain why in a minute. Am I typing to everyone? Yeah. Strong. Because gentleness is not always meek and mild, and it's not always submissive, and it's certainly not bland. And I think Jesus, when we look at Jesus in the Bible, he is a prime example of both strength and gentleness. And I want to show you something. This is make Catherine laugh, actually, because she always laughs at the fact that I keep things for years and years and years because I'm very, very sentimental. And Catherine, this is another bookmark that I found. Somebody bought it for me, and I don't know why, because although I like elephants, I wouldn't say that they were my favourite creature, but I don't know if you can see it. It says, Lord, your world is special. I like your elephants best. And on the back it says, Heavenly Father, thank you for making huge elephants with their wrinkly grey skin. Their eyes are gentle and their trunks are so strong. Make us strong and gentle too. Do we have the strength to be gentle? Amen.
You see, the trouble is, Sally, you say that and I just want everything else to go away. And I want to give that 40 minutes all on its own. But no, we'll keep going with the rest of the service. We have two readings from 1 Thessalonians and from Matthew, and Vaughan and Teresa will read these passages to us. The Thessalonians reading, the apostles have been maltreated at Philippi. They have been pursued by a mob in Thessalonica because they have acted contrary to the declarations, the decrees of the emperor. The message is about self-giving in the preaching of the gospel, which is self-giving as at the heart of what it means to follow God who is known in the Christ. And then from Matthew, the commandments to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and the command to love your neighbor as yourself, commands from the center of Judaism. And that virtue in human relationships is an aspect of reverence for God. As I said, Fawn and Teresa will read these to us, and then we will go straight into the sermon.
This reading is from the Good News Bible version of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. Our friends, you yourselves know that our visit to you was not a failure. You know how we had already been mistreated and insulted in Philippi before we came to you in Thessalonica. And even though there was much opposition, our God gave us courage to tell you the good news that comes from him. Our appeal to you is not based on error or impure motives, nor do we try to trick anyone. Instead, we always speak as God wants us to, because he has judged us worthy to be entrusted with the good news. We do not try to please people, but to please God, who tests our motives. You know very well that we did not come to you with flattering talk, nor did we use words to cover up greed. God is our witness. We did not try to get praise from anyone, either from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have made demands on you. But we were gentle when we were with you, like a mother taking care of her children. Because of our love for you, we were ready to share with you not only the good news from God, but even our own lives. You were so dear to us. Amen.
And from Matthew, also from the Good News Bible version. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together. And one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap him with a question. Teacher, he asked, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teaching of the prophets depends on these two commandments. When some Pharisees gathered together, Jesus asked them, what do you think about the Messiah? Whose descendant is he? He is David's descendant, they answered. Why then, Jesus asked, did the Spirit inspire David to call him Lord? David said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit here at my right side until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David called him Lord, how can the Messiah be David's descendant? No one was able to give Jesus any answer, and from that day on, no one dared to ask him any more questions.
Two texts I'm preaching from today are 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 8, and Matthew 22, verses 34 to 46. So I'd suggest that you pause now, listen to them or read them, and then come back in. My name is Leslie Charlton, and I'm the minister of Kingston United Reformed Church, and we welcome you to this act of worship with us. If we can be of any assistance to you, or you want to talk about the big stuff, we'd be grateful to do that with you. You see a boat filled with people, yet there isn't a single person on board. How come? Or, I'm as light as a feather, yet the strongest person can't hold me for 5 minutes. What am I? Riddles. So after the scholars have been prodding at Jesus, they finally ask an obvious question. It almost feels as though they're running out of steam, and they get an obvious answer back. And you can hear them almost packing up their laptops and filling up their bags and going home. And then Jesus turns the tables on them and asks the question, whose son is the Messiah? A question about David and the son, and what does it mean? It's a riddle. The question is the Messiah David's son or David's Lord? And the answer is yes and yes, according to the writer of the Gospel according to Matthew. The writer makes it clear that Jesus is born as the son of David. He also makes it clear that Jesus is Lord. Both. He speaks to the people in the language and the pictures that they speak. Speaking the language that people actually speak matters. Having something true to say is important, but being able to communicate that at depth is vital. Slogans are attractive, but they're not the answer. The truth is slogged out, as Paul shares in his letter. So the commands that Jesus replies with in Matthew are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as you love yourself. These two responses are central to Judaism, and you could say they're central to a life well lived. This is Jesus who gives the right answer. This is Jesus who is a Jew and who answers from the texts of his faith. And nobody who is serious about Jesus could ever be disparagingly brutal about Judaism. There is no excuse except ignorance. The apostles are maltreated at their time in Philippi. They advocate customs that are not lawful to the Romans. What did they do? Well, it was against the law to worship new gods unless they had been officially sanctioned, and Christianity at that stage had not been. So let's be clear, they were breaking the law. They emphasized their call to speak the truth courageously despite opposition. To be in the way of speaking, not to please mortals, but to please God. Paul has been brought up as a Roman citizen, more likely to inflict pain than to receive it. But now he's on the other side of the tracks. His faith has brought him to a new place. He knew what it was to be hungry and to suffer hardship. And yet he goes on with an image of a nursing mother, an image that speaks of self-giving, which is at the heart, the very heart of the gospel. What about today? How are we giving ourselves when our circumstances are so confined? Creatively is the answer. In what ways are we giving of ourselves? This could be a time of tremendous spiritual growth for each of us. And indeed, as I'm hearing it from many people, it is. Even as we are so circumscribed in the way that our lives are lived, I have to stay at home. No excuse for not reaching out to serve. Think of the good things that people are able to do through times in prison. The passage in the Gospel feels like it's actually two bits for two different audiences. One is the big picture, the drawing on a large canvas. This is how we need to do it. This is what life means and how it is to be lived. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then into a corner goes Jesus and joins a debating group and swaps tightly well-argued truth that goes over the heads of most of us. What does it mean? Who cares? Get back to the love of God and love of your neighbour as you love yourself. And you know what? In the moment that I say that, I say more about myself than I say about Jesus. There is a time and a place for detailed, deconstructive argument. This is a moment when minutiae and tight argument is important. There are times when you need the broad truth, and then there are times when you need the lawyers and the planners who will battle through the courts to make justice happen, who will make racism illegal, who will develop housing in an area, who will take on the planning regulations so that a food bank can be established. It's too easy to pick and choose the texts that frame our picture of Jesus and who he was and is. And Jesus puts down his beer, sweeps back his ginger hair, and speaks in English with a slight Scots accent and says, But for all that nuts depiction of a Jew from the turn of the last millennia, who, wait for it, could not speak English. Pause. We have to look at the texts and be challenged by the wholeness of him, the bits that we naturally, instinctively would want to rush past. But more. Jesus says that the most important things are to love God and to love your neighbour, and then he goes into debate. He's already spoken about taxes. He's already questioned the leaders on the subject of how they have a view of their own superiority over others and their treatment of others. And now he takes them on in religious debate. And that is what love looks like for him. There is a time when the religious views of others have to be confronted. This is an act of love, not an act of belligerence. Now, how that is done, that is where the skill is. But that it is done is essential. Maybe now is a good time to practice with someone else, or to think about the big things and then to write down your answers, to be able to give an account of the faith that is in us. What does God mean to you? How can you believe in a being that you can't see? Who was Jesus? And to give good answers, not just the spooling out of the things that we don't actually believe anyway, but the heartfelt wonderings of people who have prayed and thought and studied their texts rather than being taken in by the news media. Quite a lot of our problem is that we have lined up love with emotion. Here we are talking about an action that comes from a loving place. The love here described is about loving kindness. Nothing to do with how you feel, everything about how you know it is right to behave. Merciful action that is both generous and continuous. This means about the love for those for whom we have close emotional ties, but also for those that we think of as being outside, the fallen, the dirty ones, where Paul finds himself. Suddenly, this is the gang that he's hanging about with. Once he was in the cream of the crop, and now he is with those who are despised and literally hungry. It's about us sharing of our very selves, no flattery, not to please the crowd, but sharing of ourselves to please God. Easy? No. Possible? Well, what God requires is that we move to love, and that moves us to act beyond emotion, all of us. And the riddles. You see a boat filled with people, yet there isn't a single one on board. How is it possible? Answer, they're all married. Ah. I'm as light as a feather, and yet the strongest person can't hold me for 5 minutes. Who am I? Answer, your breath. Amen.
Lord, we pray for those who brought us to faith, those who have shown us your love, tended our needs, physical, emotional, spiritual needs, and those who answered us when we questioned and stayed with us when we were belligerent. We pray for those who have put themselves in harm's way for us and for others. For those who have sacrificed their lives for doing what they believe to be right. For those who have given of themselves to spread truth, to spread love, to act for the vulnerable. And at this time and at this season, we pray for those involved in the medical services, in hospitals and in the community, in hospices and in doctors' surgeries, in the administration of it. For those working in care homes, for those making tough choices, Lord, we pray. We pray for those whose selfless acts have caused them distress, those who have lost status in their community, those who have been ridiculed and mocked because they did what they believed to be right. And we pray for those who have been bullied mercilessly through social media. We know that for many in our society, the easiest thing is to deny you. So we pray for creativity of ways to express our truth, but not merely to irritate, not merely to get things off our chest, but to speak the truth that would build another up. And we pray for the worldwide church, of those imprisoned and tortured for their faith and their witness. Lord, we hold up before you those for whom we feel a particular concern on this day. The people we love, the people we are anxious about. For the institutions that are precious to us. And for those burdened by fear. our prayer. And may we know that you do. And we pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Just before we move to our offering, let me give you some notices. A warm greeting to the worldwide community that is part of the worship this morning in Kingston Knight Reformed Church. We've got Shayla in from Brazil, as well as our, you know, we're just getting a bit bored with you lot from South Korea. You're just like our normal now. We're not even mentioning you. But the Brazilian, woo, she gets a name check, so good to see you. Hurrah. I'm going away later on today. I'll be back next Saturday. My task is to read and to pray. I will be praying for you all this week. Catherine, hurrah, will have my work phone. So the daily prayers, that, for those of you who get them on WhatsApp, that will be continuing. November is a season to lament. It's a tradition of lamenting has been largely lost in society, where we're all told to don't worry, be happy. But our sadness has to be acknowledged, felt, dealt with. Obviously in a context of us as people who have hope, but pretending doesn't help us. So we'll be using Lamentations from the Psalms as our theme for our worship next Sunday at 5 o'clock. And then hopefully everybody knows that on the 8th, we will be having a time of remembrance. If you've got anybody that you particularly would like us to be remembering, a photograph, a couple of sentences would be great. And we will incorporate that into our worship, at the worship, which will be in the building from 3 o'clock. If any of you can knit or and are looking for a project, we've got a bit of an idea. If you, something we'd like to get going, my spy assures me that this thing that we want to knit is relatively simple. So if you could send me a message, we'll see if we can get a team going, maybe. It's a top secret mission. If you're up for being a part of it, would you let me know and we'll see what we can do. Big birthday congratulations to Derek. Ninety. Amazing, but true. Hurrah! If you know of anybody who is finding things in tough in terms of feeding their children over the half term week, I will be sending some information out on the email and on the WhatsApp group about some options that are around in our local area. And finally, today the elders will be ordained and inducted at 5 o'clock. So please would you pray for Robin and Ray, Bron and Carol. And the hope is that maybe next Easter, when we can gather in a larger group, we will have some sort of gathering and act of blessing. We'll find some way of doing something, I'm sure. So now we move to our dedication of our offering. We had a fantastic result from our gift day. We're incredibly moved and grateful. It's of course based on the assumption that our regular giving will be going through the bank, bank transfer, checks, post them in, and they'll be banked eventually and locked in the safe in the meantime. But for now, would you finish yourself with the bread and the wine, and we will dedicate these gifts. So let us pray. Loving God, all that we have, all that we do, all that we are, we offer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith is not climbing up to heaven to bring Christ down. It is not fathoming the deepest depths of thought and meaning to bring Christ up. There is no need to travel to find him. No need to cross oceans or the vast expanse of the mind. Christ is here with us, right here, wherever we are now, for each of us. So let us gather at this meal and at this table, whatever it looks like where you are. And let us know that we are welcomed and loved. For the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is broken for you." In the same way also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we take bread, we take wine, and we give thanks. Let us pray. Loving, gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for Jesus. We thank you for his life and teaching, for his example, and his shaping and framing of us. We thank you for the people who matter to us. We thank you for those who have mattered through the years. The parents, the spouses, the friends, the family members, those who now rest. And we thank you for those around the world who have been our companions along the way, for those that we know as people, but also for those whose writings and films and music have stirred the soul. Thank you. And thank you for those who we love today. People who know you and people who don't. People who know how we feel and those who don't. We thank you for friendship and for love that is known. Love that is expressed in the mundane, beyond our feelings. And thank you for this bread and this wine that reminds us that you, our extraordinary, powerful God, are known to us in the smallness of every day. Pour out your spirit on these gifts. Transform them. Transform us as we receive, that we would recognize you in the bread, recognize you in the wine. May this bread be for us as the body of Christ, this wine as the blood of Christ. And as we eat and drink, may we know of you and know of your power. Lord, we pray. Amen. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, and said, "This is my body, it is broken for you." And he took wine, blessed and poured out, and said, "This is my blood, it is shed for you. The body of Christ, the blood of Christ." So let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that you have commissioned us to participate in your very nature by living out your love here on earth. We thank you for the joyfulness of this commission and pray that we may enter into it with all our heart and soul and all our mind. We are aware that this commission is full of risk and challenge. So we pray that you would keep us close and fill us with your delight and your love. Lord, we pray. Amen. After we've sung our final hymn and pronounced a benediction, we will then, please, if you can, stick around, and we're going to chat rooms. If that's just too much for you, reach out your hand and get in touch with somebody. It's a golden opportunity, those of you who are finding yourselves increasingly isolated. Just use the church as a cheery excuse. Didn't really want to phone you. I know you don't really want to speak to me, but here I am on the phone. Come on, let's do it. Do it. Be brave. But chat rooms are available. It's good. So let's join together to sing Love Divine or Love's Excelling. know, I think Anne is right. When it comes to the hymns, I think we should all get up, especially a hymn like that. I think that needs the bottom of your lungs, doesn't it, that hymn? The feast is ended. The world is waiting. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Let's say together the grace. The grace. Grace.